All right, we'll go ahead and get started. First off, I wanted to announce the results of the Free Store Food Bank and the Meyer Canned Food Drive of last week and last Sunday. And there were over 7,800 pounds of food donated and over $16,000 in cash, which enables the Free Store Food Bank to feed over 25,000 families in the tri-state area. So, again, I want to say thanks to all the fans and people who came out and contributed to that on behalf of the Free Store Food Bank and Meyer. So, great. Looking at the Chargers, obviously the offensively they're led by Phil Rivers, who is a very, very good quarterback who is a tough guy. He's a guy who stands in there and delivers the football accurately many different ways. And he's kind of a wonder to continue to watch and how he goes about and does things. He's a great leader of the team. They have some skilled guys in Floyd and Antonio Gates, who as receivers of the football that are just excellent. And then Ryan Matthews, their back, I think is a very fine back. He had some injuries early in the year, but he's a hard-running guy. He's got great speed and a guy that we've got to be conscious of, both a runner and receiver of the football. So offensively that way. Defensively, they're doing statistically they're playing very well. They're giving up a few more points lately, but they have been playing pretty sound defense, good against the run, a lot of pressure on the quarterback. Last week they had a number of sacks against Baltimore, so we got to do really comes down to, doing a great job up front on both sides of the line of scrimmage. Just we've been talking about over the last month, and it's going to continue again this Sunday for us to have the success we need to have in San Diego.
I think they've got four or five pick sixes this year. Is there anything with the scheme or just there have been balls that have been tipped that they've got?
Well, they've done a nice job of playing on the football and making breaks on the ball. And, they're obviously guys that have a good feel for the game that in order to step in front of balls and have an opportunity to return them for touchdowns.
Weddle seems like he's really come on the past year or two.
Weddle is really, I think, played well. He fits well into their scheme. He's a really heady and smart player, much like the safeties we see over here in our division with Palomalo and Ed Reed. He's one of those kind of guys who really has a great understanding of the offense and so forth, and then gets himself in the right spots.
Pagano's schematic, it seems to be, the simpler, the faster players can play. Is that
I think he's got. They're pretty complex in what they do, but they're they've got some athletic guys that can apply a lot of pressure. They're going to see many different looks. You're going to see split looks. You're going to see four down looks. Looks that look like five down. You see five man pressure. You're going to see different styles of zone blitzes and so forth throughout what they do. You're going to see trap zones, the two deep zones, the fire zones. So they've got man to man. So they've got the gambit.
Phillips, the king of the pressure for them? Is he the guy that sets
the tempo? Well, he's one of them. I mean, I think, we know what a good football player Jarrett Johnson is, who they added over there on their defense. And so it's a well-put-together group, and big, strong guys in the middle of it.
How's
Tequila? No, Tequila's playing. I know. Just keeps just playing. He's playing, very well in there, and he plays kind of their weak side inside linebacker in their base defense and does a great job. They keep him covered up and great job scraping to the football and making tackles.
There's a guy that understands you can't take playoff appearances for granted. And said he's never made one in 15 seasons. It's amazing.
It's an incredible thing for what obviously a good player he's been. He's been on a couple, three or four different teams now, three teams, I guess. And, I got to know Tequio after he left here. He spent some time the first two or three weeks I was here together, and then free agency happened and poof, he was gone. But we spent a lot of time in my office in those first couple weeks before that occurred, but I've really gotten a chance really to visit with him more since he's left here than I really did in the short period of time he was here as a player.
Do you ever wonder what might have been if he had
I wish I would have did a better job of it's one that got away, you know. I wish I he would have been an outstanding player, and it's, you know, I wish I could have, you know, we could have got it done better.
I mean, I think he's kind of wistful about it, too, if you've talked about him. You've talked with him, I'm sure, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Do you think he would have liked it?
Oh, yeah. I think it would have been great. He's a fine player. Obviously, to still be playing, he's got a lot of ability.
He'll be here. He'll still be here, probably.
I would hope. I hope if he's playing there, he'd still be playing here. He'd have that playoff thing more than we have, maybe, with him. So.
When he was a free agent last year after San Francisco and went to San Diego, was that one of those guys post-lockout? Did you possibly look at bringing back? Or?
It was somebody that we looked at, yes, but we didn't, you know, really. I think his position and you know, was different than what we were looking for probably at that time.
What made you decide, because Ray and Andy were shocked on Sunday when they saw the C's on the jerseys, just thought process about naming them permanent captains and doing that visibly?
Yes. All the above.
What was the thought process about going with permanent captains finally again?
Well, I've made them, they've been captains for over the last four football games. I just continued to wanted to go ahead and, you know, just came to me one morning running that I should go ahead and put the C's on their jerseys and make it known that way. And, again, continue to empower them to do the things I've asked them to do, but, you know, make it physical now and, you know, where everybody sees it. So, you know, and I didn't tell them about it. I just did it. So I thought that was, you know, and I told Jeff to get it done on Friday morning. And, you know, it's good.
The San Diego Charger offensive line seems to be in a little transition. Some guys, they're a really good guard, had to retire because of concussion issues. And they've had some injuries, so a little bit of a shuffle there. How are they playing up front?
Well, again, they, you know, obviously they've had some people they've had to shuffle around, but you know, the more you do play together, the better you get, and you know, those same guys will be playing this week, so we got our work cut out for us, and we have to, you know, again, get our pads down. We got to get off on the football. We got to do a great job. This guy does a great job with the cadence and the hard counts and everything this way, so we have to be very conscious of that throughout the week, and we have to focus in on that football, and we got to go beat them to the punch.
A bit of a breakthrough last year, finally winning on the West Coast.
Went on the West Coast in 2003, and you know, and then lost a bunch of close games on the West Coast, Joe. So I don't think it matters whether we play them here or play them in sunny San Diego. Our job is to go beat their tails this week.
Why has there? I mean, why have the team?
I don't think there is. There is no reasoning. If that were the case, then a West Coast team could never come to the East Coast and win. So, and I don't think that necessarily happens because they have to do that more often than we have to go to the West Coast. I think if your team is better, you win. If your team is not, doesn't play as well, you lose. Plain and simple.
Does it become a crutch for some people?
I don't know.
I mean, like,
I've never thought of it that way.
Right. I mean, we lost West Coast.
I've never thought of it, and our guys certainly don't care because none of them were here. It doesn't matter.
Right.
It didn't matter last year when we went out to Seattle and beat their tail. It doesn't matter. You know, you go play the game. Wherever we play it outside in the parking lot at Longworth Hall. We'll be ready to play Sunday.
When you, because you studied it, you're a smart guy. You've looked at it. Coaches have looked at it. After all the putting in the data and everything, is that finally what the resolution is? Does it matter where you play?
It matters. You prepare your football team to go play their best football come Sunday afternoon.
How much does it help, though? Because West teams coming east now come out on Friday. You guys are going out on Friday. I think a couple times you went out on Saturday, but how much?
Only once have I ever been involved with a team that went out on Saturday in my 22 years in the NFL. So most of the places I've been, we've gone Friday. And to me, the Friday thing is to get – when we go to Florida or we go to the West Coast, we see an influx of families, of our player families. And to me, from my perspective of it, that's the best thing I get accomplished. We get the time change handled, and we get the families because we get overrun with the players get overrun with their families. And it gives them an opportunity Friday evening to spend time with their family, for us to have our normal day on Saturday. And then, you know what, by Saturday afternoon, they pretty much are done with their families. You know, they've had enough Friday night. They've got all the tickets done and handled and so forth, so they can go back and focus in on football because they want to have their time separate and apart as well. And so I think, to me, that's the biggest advantage of doing, you know, going on a Friday. And, you know, when I coached for the Steelers, we went to Florida 2 days early. Some, you know, we went Friday evening because of those things, because you get, you know, just overrun by that. And we did it in Baltimore once, I believe. So, but I think that's probably the biggest thing, and the thing that I like the most out of it is Saturday. Once we, you know, when we get together on Saturday, it's our normal Saturday. It's what we normally do each and every time. We get our guys to bed earlier than normal because we're gonna, you know, we're not gonna be on the same body clock, but we get close enough, and then it's time to have at it.
1 minute. The last game that they played against the Ravens, no turnovers. Neither team turned it over. It was a kind of an AFC North type game, type score and everything, all for one play. That 4th and 29. I guess a team can go either way after something like that happens. Do you expect their best effort again?
I expect their best effort. I mean, this is a good football team. Its record isn't reflecting where they want to be, and so we'll get their best effort because they got good players, and they're well coached. And so we got to play great football. We can't. You said the name of. We can't turn the football over. We got to take the ball away from them, and we got to create short fields.
Encouraged to get Kyle Cook back on the field today.
I think it's gonna be great for Kyle to get an opportunity back to, you know, some resemblance of practicing football. You know, it's not quite the same as the atmosphere that you would have. This today being a non-padded day, but day just in shells this week. So for 2 days, but gives him an opportunity at least to get acclimated, his feet dip back in the water a little bit that way, pushing on 300-pound people again, you know, rather than Nick out there at about 150 soaking wet. So it's good, you know what I mean? I think it's a good thing for him to get back and doing those things and get back. He was out and, you know, took care of things and walk through today and so forth and work against the defense. So it's great work for him and get back to making calls and handling the different snaps and so forth and cadences. So he's been into it for, you know, 2 or 3 weeks since he's been back in the meetings. And I think having him back on the field is it's good. And we'll see how he goes. You know, he's got to feel right about it. And I got to see what I need to see as time goes on over here. So we really have no time frame of when, if and when would he be brought to the roster. So there is no time frame. So please don't need to write that anymore. And because we don't put time frames on injured players.
Can he ramp up faster though than skill? I mean, can Lyman normally ramp up faster?
I don't know. He's had an injury that had a, you know, significant surgery and so forth, and he's gone through a rehab period and so forth, and you know, the specialist is comfortable with him. Our team doctor is comfortable with him right now, beginning this process, and then they'll evaluate him as he goes. You know, but so far it's been good. The activity he's had has been good, and no setback.
With no pads this week, is that a nod to that?
I just said we have no time frames.
No nods, no time frames. I'm saying for the team, is that a nod that is a long trip coming up?
No, it's where we are in the season and part of the collective bargaining agreement.
I know you're not saying any time frames, though, but does the 3 week roster exemption start today?
It starts today.
So that is it.
Well, but yeah, and that can start and stop and end, you know? So.
You've still got some padded days, I'm sure. You get some padded days that you.
We do, yes. Mm-hmm.